Good evening. All right, so tonight we're going to watch a movie. I'm just kidding. Someone said, "Where's the popcorn?" I forget where that was. Somebody said that. I said, "If you want to bring popcorn, I'll eat some." So, all right, so tonight we're going to be looking at a study in the book of Proverbs that has to do with the four types of friends in Proverbs. So this is a study that I did for the youth retreat that I went and spoke at, and it was something that I thought would be really beneficial for all of us to hear. I know that this is a study that I heard for the first time when I was like 11 or something, and it always impacted me. And so a few months ago when I was preparing for the youth retreat, I tried to recreate this in my mind and try to think about what it was, because I hadn't seen it in a long time. And it was a really neat study to go through Proverbs and look at the different passages that dealt with these four different type of people. Now, you can apply these four different type of people, the simple, the fool, the scorner, and the wise, to a lot of different situations, not just friends. You can apply it to four different types of leaders, four different just types of general people, four different types of people you're going to run into. But I want to specifically look at tonight what these four types of people in Proverbs are in relation to friendships. And I want you to think about two different things as we go through this. First of all, what type of friend am I? What type of friend am I to those that I am around? My coworkers, my family members, just people that I'm running into on a day-to-day basis. And then I also want you to think about what type of friends do I have? When I think about friendship, I've heard a lot of times the phrase leadership equated with influence. I would like to suggest that friendship could also be equated in the same way. That friendship is influence. We have a lot of different types of levels of friendship. But are we allowing our friends to influence us? Because whether we realize it or not, they do. And therefore, are we allowing the right kind of friends to influence us? And then in the retrospect, and also as well, are we influencing those around us? And that's kind of what we're going to look at as we go through these four different types. So we're going to go through different parts in Proverbs. I'll have the verses up here on the screen. And then as we look at the applications of the different ones, we'll look at some different passages as well there. So the four different types of friends. So the first one that we have is the simple man. He is mentioned 14 times in Proverbs. The simple person does not usually stick out in groups. So by this, I mean the simple person, the simple friend, is not going to be the one that you're going to just automatically point out and see and recognize in a group of people. They're usually harder to identify. They will always follow the strongest leader. So the simple person is not, by nature of that statement, he is not going to be a leader. The simple person is going to be the one that's just going to follow what everyone else is doing. They're going to follow the strongest personality in the group. Now, as we're going to look at, that could be a good influence. That could be the right kind of person. It could also be the wrong kind of influence. The simple person is just going to follow whoever's the strongest leader within the group. Let's look at some different characteristics of the simple person. First of all, he is not cautious. He is not cautious. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." See, the simple person, when there is some problem potentially coming up, when there is an issue that might be perceived as wrong from others, they just run right into it. They don't take a second thought. They're just going to do whatever everyone else is doing, as I said earlier. If there's a situation coming up that could potentially be dangerous, they don't really consider the consequences. It says that a prudent man, a wise man, as we're going to look at later, foresees the evil. They see that the situation coming up could be bad, could have negative consequences on them. And therefore, he hides himself. He avoids the evil. But the simple man, they just pass on. They go right through. They just avoid the barriers. They avoid the things that are trying to protect them, and they are punished. You think about the different times when you go past construction, and you have the warning signs that says, "Do not enter," or "Caution construction." If you're a wise driver, you're going to go around the barriers. You're not going to just keep going right through, because there is a warning there. A wise driver goes around and goes the safe direction. A simple driver, someone just like, "Yeah, it's probably just a suggestion." They probably are just doing that to just throw people off, and you know, the Department of Transportation doesn't have anything else to do. They're just having fun with us. And they just go right through. And they'll go off, and then they reach a point where the construction is there, and they are punished. And so is the same in our lives in general, and also very much spiritually. If we do not foresee the evil ahead of us, we will be punished. So this simple man is not cautious. Secondly, they are gullible. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" Proverbs 14:15, "The simple believeth every word." Now, the characteristic of being gullible. I understand that sometimes that's equated with being blonde, but I would like to say that that is not always the case. Just because you're blonde does not mean that you're necessarily gullible. It does happen a lot more often, though, I will say, with blonde people. But the very the very word to be simple, in its very definition, is the fact that you're just going to believe anything. That you're just going to go along with whatever anyone else is saying. As it says in Proverbs 1:22, "How long, ye simple ones, will you continue in your simplicity?" In our Sunday school class in the youth group, we are talking about discernment and how to use discernment in our lives as believers and how to apply it to different situations. Because our culture does not want us to use discernment. Our culture wants us just to go along with whatever is new, whatever is popular, whatever is the thing to do now. You have everything that's pulling at us. They don't want you to think about it. Because if we think about it more often than not, we realize that we probably don't want to do that. And what the simple person does, though, is they are just the person that our culture is going for all the time. The simple person is just going to see an ad for something and they're going to buy it. They're going to see something that's going on and they're just going to go do it. They take no thought about what is happening. They're gullible. They just believe whatever is going on. It says in Proverbs 14:15, as I said, "The simple believeth every word." It means whatever is told to them, they just automatically believe it. They don't really think about it. That means whatever they're being taught, whatever that they're being told by people, they don't take into account whether this person is trustworthy. They don't take into account if this what this person is saying is in accordance with God's word. They just believe it, and they follow it. And if you are trying to not live a simple life, trying not to be a simple man, we should not be gullible. And when I say that, it means that we should try everything that is told to us. We should test everything. We should be critical thinkers. We're not being critical of people. We're thinking critically about what people are telling us based on God's word. We're not just going with whatever everyone else is doing. We're not just saying, "Oh, it sounds fun. I'll go do that." Don't think about what the consequences are. We are trying everything. But the simple person does not do that. They are gullible. The next characteristic of the simple, according to Proverbs, in Proverbs 21:11, it says, "When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge." See that the simple person takes correction seriously. A simple person, someone that we've seen the other characteristics, when there is correction around them, when someone else is corrected for something, they listen. They observe that, and they're made wise, as it says here in Proverbs. You see, if a simple person observes someone else getting corrected, or they themselves are corrected, it opens their eyes. It doesn't mean that they're automatically just going to make the right decision, but they do pay attention to correction. They take it very seriously. Proverbs 19:25 says, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." So in the same sense as the last proverb that we looked at, if the simple person observes someone getting corrected, observes someone being corrected in what they are doing, the actions they're taking, they will learn from that. This means that if you are, as we're going to look at later with a scorner, correcting someone that is doing wrong, remember I said that the simple person will always follow the strongest leader? If they are following someone that is very a strong leader, but they're not a good leader, they're a scorner, they're a fool, as we'll look at, but then the simple person sees them corrected, it opens their eyes. And they begin to realize, oh, maybe that's not such a good thing. See, when the strongest leader shows himself to be wrong, then they begin to take notice of that, and they begin to correct their actions. simple person can also respond to God's word. We see this in Psalm 119, 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." When you think about how we are going to deal with a simple person, we're going to look at that next. We cannot deal with anyone. We cannot deal with any wrong thinking apart from God's word. We can try to give good moral thoughts to them. We can try to give them good practical advice for their lives. But in order to see long-lasting change, we have to use God's word. And we can only see change come about through that. And we see that the simple person can, and a lot of times will, respond to God's word. If you show them the words that give light, the simple person will gain understanding. So how do we deal with the simple? I want you to turn to Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 with me. And in this verse, we're going to see, as I just said, that we need to correct wrong thinking with Scripture. Because we do not want the simple person, if they're going to follow after our example, if we're trying to correct them, we're trying to encourage them, we don't want to just tell them to do something just because I say to do it. Now, they will follow you. They will listen to you if you're showing yourself to be a strong leader. But if you want it to be a lasting change, a change that is not going to just fall away when another person comes along and tells them something else, you have to base what you're telling them, what we are instructing and correcting the simple person on God's word. And that is where we have to go. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." All of that, we can't do. We can't figure out what is the intents of the heart. We can just judge people based on their outward actions. Now, a lot of times, our outward actions are a direct tie into what our heart is doing. But we cannot see what the actual thought process of the person is. God's word is able to do that. God's word is able to correct, to admonish way more than we are able to. And there is no stronger leader than God. And once a simple person is corrected and is shown to follow God and after his word, and if they follow after God's word and they become a wise man, then they are not going to fall into the trap of following after the world, following after culture and what is new and what is ever everyone else is doing. We need to correct wrong thinking with Scripture. Secondly, we need to lovingly rebuke wrong actions. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. So when the simple person responds wrong or has wrong actions, how do we deal with that? We lovingly rebuke them along the way. Galatians 6, 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Restore these people, restore the simple person in the spirit of meekness. This means that we don't come to them all high and haughty and say, "No, you're completely wrong. You should be more like me. We should come to them in the spirit of meekness, just as Christ did. Just as Christ encouraged those around him. We need to come in the same way. We need to lovingly rebuke the simple person. And we need to do it in the spirit that God has asked us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 23 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26. Says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." As Paul is instructing Timothy, a young pastor, someone that is going to be faced with many different situations where he's going to need to rebuke wrong thinking. Paul is reminding him to do it lovingly, to do it with meekness, to come at them in the way that God would have them, as Christ gave us the example. So when we are thinking about the simple person, the two questions that I asked you at the beginning, are we considering, are we ourselves a simple person? And it may not even be that we're just strictly one of these four types or another. We may have characteristics of each one in our lives. Are there some areas in our lives where we're acting simple? And we're allowing ourselves to just kind of relax. You know, being a wise person, as we're going to look at later, takes action. Takes being active and not just allowing ourselves to just go along with the flow. And also, are we allowing ourselves to be influenced by simple-minded people? Or are we influencing them? Something that we need to think about. All right, the next person that we're going to look at, the next type of friend, is the fool. The fool is mentioned 61 times in Proverbs. He sticks out in the group as the reckless one. And by this, I mean someone that you kind of look at and they're just very careless. They're just kind of going out and doing whatever. They don't really take thought about it. But it's not as the simple person would just kind of do it in a passive way. The fool does this very actively and on purpose. They're going out and just doing whatever seems right to them. The fool leads others by example, not by choice. The fool is not going to be someone that is necessarily striving to be a leader. They're not someone that's out there saying, I want to lead, I want to do this. But their example, because of the nature of who they are, they do lead the simple-minded people just by their actions. By their example, they are leading others, but it's not a choice of their own. Some characteristics of the fool. They are mischievous. Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. This means that they're just getting involved in whatever they can. That means that they are just not really taking thought about what the consequences are, similar to the simple person. But I would say that more with the fool, they do consider the consequences sometime, and yet they just don't care. They just go along and they do it. Like, I don't really care what happens to me. I don't really care what happens to others. You know, our actions affect others. And the foolish person takes no thought about that. It is as a sport. It's as a game. It's just a thing for them to do, to be involved in mischief. Secondly, we see that they are disrespectful. Proverbs 15:20, a foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish person, speaking about mother specifically, but to authority in general, the foolish person just doesn't care about authority. The foolish person despises people that tell them what is right and what is wrong. When someone comes along and tells them, you know what, you're doing is wrong here, they despise being told that. They reject that. The foolish person doesn't want to hear that what they're doing is wrong. They just want to continue doing what they're doing. They are very much disrespectful to authority. Next, we see they laugh at or sleeps through instruction. Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. You see, when you instruct a fool, they disregard it completely, as I just talked about with the authority. But a fool is also someone that when they are being instructed, when they're being taught, they just kind of laugh at that authority. They just kind of, it's not really that important. Or maybe when something is being instructed to them from God's word or something that is very much valuable to them, they just kind of, either mentally or maybe even physically, fall asleep at it. They just could care less about hearing what is right and what is wrong. In the situations where they're being taught how to learn these things, how to use discernment, they just don't care. And they just fall asleep and they laugh at the instruction that is being given to them. Another characteristic, yields to temptation. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Now, this is one of those characteristics that sadly we as believers act as fools as many times. It would be nice to say that we resist temptation every time that it comes and presents itself to us. It'd be nice to say that every time we're tempted to do wrong, that we resist that, we flee from the devil, we run to God, and we just don't take part in that temptation and yield to that sin. And yet, in our flesh, we yield to that temptation time after time after time again. What we are doing is we are acting as fools. And do we want to be known as someone that is acting as a fool, especially as a child of God? Or do we want to be seen as a wise man that fears and departs from evil? This is something to where we obviously realize in our flesh there are going to be times where we sin, where we yield to the temptation. But are we making it a habit? Are we making it a lifestyle? Are we living as a foolish man? Or are we living, as we're going to look at, as a wise man? And when we do yield to that temptation, we do sin, we are repentant. And we run to God and we ask for His forgiveness. And that is more the characteristic. There's going to be times where we act foolishly. But are we characterizing ourselves after the foolish man or after the wise man? The fool also thinks what he is doing is right. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. See, the interesting thing about a foolish man is that they don't really think what they're doing is wrong. This could be for a lot of different reasons. It could be that they just haven't taken the time, as we just talked about, to listen to correct instruction, to even know that it is wrong. But something else that I see a lot, and that is easy for us to do all the time, is that we convince ourselves that what is wrong is actually right. That we convince ourselves that, well, this actually isn't that bad. And if this isn't bad, then this really isn't that bad. And if this isn't bad, then this really isn't that bad. And before long, we're looking back to where we were, and we are now seeing that we have gone so far away from what is right and what is true that we can't even understand how it's wrong anymore. Because when we begin to convince ourselves that small things are okay, the bigger things begin to seem not that big a deal at all. The foolish man convinces himself that what is wrong is actually right. What he does is right in his own eyes. He's not taking the time to listen to instruction, to listen to the authority. He despises the authority. Therefore, the only authority that he listens to is himself. The only authority that he's taking the time to learn things from is his own experiences, his own personal example. And this is the main characteristic of the fool. They think that what they are doing is right. You see, this is what happens when we begin to base our what we know and what we do off of our own experience and not off of the Bible and not out of God's Word. When we begin to live our lives separate from God and separate from His commands to us, everything that we do will seem right in our own eyes. Everything that we do isn't going to seem wrong because the only authority we're going off of is ourselves. How do we deal with the fool? We need to rebuke them. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 Timothy 5:20. Says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. We saw in Proverbs that it talked about the simple person. When he sees someone corrected, he learns from that. This doesn't mean that automatically right away that when someone sins that we have to just bring them before the church and we correct them. And I bring up someone up here, I'm like, I can't believe that you left the toilet paper out in the bathroom stall. Like, that is absolutely terrible. I can't believe that you would sin in that way. No, there's obviously a process that we go through. There's a process that Christ sets for us to deal with different things and with different sins. But when it gets to the level of acting as a foolish man, where they are just doing whatever is right in their own way, it will sometimes reach a point where we need to correct them in front of all. And what we need to realize is that we need to deal with the fool. We need to rebuke them. We cannot allow the fool to just continue in his actions. This means if we have someone that we are close to, and they are acting like a fool, and this is a pattern of their life that they are just doing continually, we need to rebuke them. This means that we do this still in a loving manner, but we need to rebuke them. But if nothing changes, we need to separate from them. Because as I said earlier, we should be influencing those around us. We should not be allowing the fool to influence us. And if it gets to that point where there is no change happening and the fool is beginning to influence us or those around us, we need to separate from him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Paul here talking to the church at Corinth says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from them, from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." If it gets to the point where the fool is affecting us and influencing us, we need to separate from them. This passage does not mean that we just completely avoid the world, that we completely run away from everything that has to do with the world and culture. We talked about that this morning in our discussion and discernment. But it does mean that when the world gets to the point, when this individual people, when fools get to the point where they're influencing us, we need to separate from them. And we should not allow them to influence us and to change us apart from God's word. So that is the fool. Next, we have the scorner. The scorner is mentioned 13 times in Proverbs. He is easily identifiable as being antagonistic. A scorner is the most serious case of being antagonistic against God. Because it isn't just that they are being antagonistic internally. More often than not, the scorner is someone that is actively seeking to scorn God's word and to scorn correct biblical thinking. And the scorner actively seeks to lead others away from truth. Characteristics of the scorner we see in Proverbs 9, 7 through 8, that he hates to be corrected. "He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." The scorner hates correction. To the point that the Proverbs is telling us that we should not even, when it gets to the point of a scorner that is so antagonistic, so set in their ways, that they're not even going to listen to rebuke. They're not even going to listen to correction because they're so set in what they are doing. They absolutely hate to be corrected. They are also full of pride. Proverbs 21, 24, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." Not only are they rejecting the instruction that they just hate it, that they won't even listen to it no matter what you do, they are very proud in how they live their lives. Everything is focused on themselves. Everything, as it says, proud and haughty, they're very boastful about what they are doing. And they don't care what you are doing. They are going to continue to do what they want to do. They are full of pride. He also rejects instruction, Proverbs 13:1. "But a scorner heareth not rebuke." He doesn't even hear it. When it comes down to it, as we looked at the first point, when you're trying to instruct them, when you're trying to correct them, he just blocks it out. Doesn't even listen to it. And to the point that the scorner gets so wrapped up in what he's doing, it's even past the point of the fool who considers what he's doing is right. The scorner doesn't even probably take the time to consider if what he is doing is right or wrong. He just does it. The scorner rejects every time that you try to instruct and rejects all instruction ever given to him. He brings conflict wherever he goes. I'm sure we've all known somebody like this. Sure, we've all either worked with someone, we've been involved with someone, that just seems whatever they do, there is just conflict surrounding them. And they seek it out, and they try to bring conflict. Proverbs 22:10, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." If you're in a situation where there's just constant conflict, constant contention, we can usually pinpoint it to a single individual or group of individuals that are seeking to bring that contention in. And what the Bible is telling us here is that if we cast out the scorner, we cast out the person that is actively seeking to bring contention, then that contention, that striving, that those difficult situations are going to cease. You see, what can happen is if the scorner is in this group of people and he is so actively seeking to destroy what is going on, we obviously know that the simple person is going to follow. If the scorner is the largest leader, the simple person is going to follow and is going to appear as a scorner. They're going to just follow whatever they are doing. And therefore, you have this whole group of people, this whole situation that you're trying to deal with. But as we looked at with the simple person, when the fool, when the scorner is corrected, they take notice. Therefore, by removing the scorner, then the simple will be made wise. By removing the person that is seeking to actively destroy God's word, then the simple people, the simple men and women in the situation will be made wise. See, the fool, though, the scorner, he brings conflict wherever he goes. How do we deal with the scorner? Well, as we looked at in the verses in the Proverbs, we need to separate from them. This isn't an issue of, oh, I might need to separate from this person, or maybe I'll try a little bit longer to try to win them. No, when it gets to the point where someone is a scorner, as Proverbs says, that they will not even listen to instruction, we need to immediately separate from them. It may not be that we can cast them out, depending on the situation. If it's a coworker of yours and you don't have authority over them, you can't just cast them out of their job. But it means that we separate from them. If you have to work with them, you have to work with them. But you don't allow them to influence you. This means that you don't allow what they say and what they do to influence you. You separate from them where it is at all possible. But if you have the opportunity to cast them out and to remove yourself from them, to separate from them, then you need to do it. And then we need to avoid coming into contact with him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see Paul further instructing Timothy, and he says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Avoid the fool, avoid the scorner, avoid coming into contact with them. We do not allow ourselves to be placed in the path of the scorner. As we talked about earlier, and we're going to look at, the wise man avoids those situations. We need to remove ourselves from the scorner. A scorner is someone who is past the point of rebuke, who is past the point of being influenced for right. And we need to avoid them at all cost. And then the last friend that we're going to look at is the wise man. The wise man is mentioned 69 times in Proverbs. He is easily identifiable as a positive influence. And he leads those who desire to follow wisdom. Let's look at some characteristics. The wise man avoids evil. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. So we talked about earlier, obviously the opposite of the simple and the fool and the scorner is the wise man, and he avoids all evil. It means when there's a situation that's coming up, and he realizes that there might be something possibly wrong here, and as you get to learn it further, you realize that there is definitely some wrong there, he avoids it. It means that you don't try to just kind of go into it and just kind of see if you can work your way through it. If there is evil, if there is wrongdoing, the wise man avoids the evil. You don't even try to deal with it. The wise man listens to and receives instruction. Proverbs 9:8, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. I'm sure that we have all maybe encouraged someone on something and received a various amount of responses. It is natural for us to not want to receive instruction. It is natural for us to not want to be told that what we are doing is wrong. You know, someone comes up to you, and no matter how they do it, and they say, well, I need to encourage you that this wasn't a right response, or this wasn't a right way to do it. It's natural for us to just say, well, why? That's not right. I think what I'm doing is fine. But you see, a wise man, someone that has purpose in his heart beforehand, when he is corrected on something, it should affect them, and it should make them love the person that is encouraging them, that is correcting them. You know, if this person is doing it in the right way. If we come at someone, a wise man, and we encourage them, then they will love you all the more for that. And that is exactly what it should look like within the church here. We should all love one another. We should all have the type of relationship where if we see something in a fellow brother or sister in Christ and we encourage them, then it shouldn't separate us. It shouldn't cause divisions among us. If it's done in the right way, it should cause us to love each other more. And it should bring us closer together. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears his father's instruction. Speaking more to the authority, we need to listen to our authority's instruction in our lives. Next, the wise man is an active witness to the lost. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You see, what's interesting about seeking out the lost and being a testimony to those is that you really have to get to the point where you're not dealing with your own personal sin issues, and it's just controlling you all the time. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to get to the point where you're perfect before you can go and witness. But this means that you have come to the point where you are trying your best, you are doing everything you can to live as Christ would have you to live, to be a wise man. And the fruit of that is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise. Showing yourself to be a testimony, to be a witness, shows that you are striving to be wise. And that should be the goal of all of us as believers. How do we deal with the wise? Well, this is obviously the easiest one out of all of them. We need to seek them out. If we can see someone who is wise, whether it's here at church, whether it's in our jobs, whether it's in our families, our friend groups, we should seek them out. It means that even if they're a little bit different from us, even if they act a little bit different, maybe their personality type's a little bit off from us. If they are a wise man, a wise woman, we should seek them out and should become close with them. And we do that so that we can influence one another, so that we can edify one another. Proverbs 27:17 talks about iron sharpening iron. If we are going to be a true friend one to another, we need to be encouraging one another. We have to be seeking each other out and edifying each other. We also need to encourage one another. Turn with me lastly to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. If we can see a wise man, a wise woman, if we see someone that's acting like that, we are trying to be wise as well. We need to be encouraging one another. And Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 states, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to take opportunities to fellowship with fellow believers, with fellow people that are striving to be wise. You see, it should be that being a believer and being a wise person is synonymous. It should be that every person that is a believer, that is a follower of Christ, is seen as wise. But I want us to consider, as we look at the different characteristics of these different types of friends, the different types of people, how are we being perceived? Are we seen as a believer that is kind of simple? Are we seen as a believer that acts foolishly sometimes? I really hope we're not seen as someone who is known as a believer but acts as a scorner. Or are we seen as a wise man that is a believer? Someone that is striving to act wise, that thinks about what they are doing, and that is reaching out to others. And if we can see that about one another, we need to encourage one another. We need to take every opportunity we can to do so. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Not forsaking the times to be at church together. You know, obviously it's awesome to be able to come to church and be able to sing praises to God, to be able to be instructed from His Word. But one of the most amazing things about church is being able to fellowship with other believers, with other wise people, with folks that can edify, that we can iron sharpening iron each other, and just to be refreshed in our relationship with the Lord. So as I asked you at the beginning, are you being a wise friend? Are you influencing those around you? Or are you allowing them to influence you? And what types of friends do you have? What types of people are you allowing to influence you? Is it wise friends? Or are you allowing yourself to be influenced by the simple man, by the foolish man, or by the scorner? We should always strive to be influenced by the wise and everything that we do. And we know who is wise and who is not by looking at them compared to God's Word. And let us each individually strive to be wise in our lives as well. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for just this study. I know the encouragement that it's been to me. I'm just looking at different areas in my life. Am I acting simple? Am I acting foolish? Am I scorning things? Lord, I should strive to be wise in everything that I do. And I pray that we as believers would try to do that in every single action. And that as we become more and more like you, that we would see ourselves act more and more wise. Thank you so much for tonight. I pray that you bless the VBS meeting now, and I pray that you would just help everything that is done and said the rest of this week to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a good night. You're dismissed.